life until love is found. Oh, love's gonna get you down. Take a look at the girl next door.
And welcome back to Breakthrough Entertainment right here on 1480 AM KPHX. Greg Isaac, Joseph Perdo, of course, the great producer, Eric Reinert. And Joseph, are these those German guys leading us in?
No, this is the Troublemakers, and you know, I just hate it when I go sucking too hard on a lollipop.
Wow. So does the lollipop, I'm sure. That's, you know, Eric, I win all the polls now.
I thought it was a bet.
Love's going to get you down.
Okay.
What can I tell you?
All right. You know, one thing that gets you up is business owner tax relief. They explore how to reduce taxes for all eligible companies, schools, and municipalities. Give them a call, 623-888-3210, 623-888-3210, or visit them online, azbotr.com, azbotr.com.
And if you visit their office, you get a free lollipop.
Very well might.
Just
well, they're not a doctor, though.
Don't suck it too hard.
When I was a little kid, the dentist would give you like a lollipop when you left, and it's like, I just had my teeth cleaned.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's true.
But they do that, so then you'd have to come back in and you know, spend
conspiracy.
Some more money.
They'd inject you full of sugar.
Oh, here's one of those trumpet things. Yeah. You don't like the trumpet?
Someone drop some bass,
Eric.
A boom, boom, boom.
Oh, yeah. See? We can
see, Eric's got it. He'll be an acapella.
Yeah. What are we gonna call our group, though?
The Breakthroughs.
Spelled with a five.
Yes.
A three.
The R is a five.
Yes.
The R is a five.
That E?
Nice.
Both R's are five.
Yes, well, Pitch Perfect 2 is on the soundtrack of that, and it's a very fun scene. I don't know if this is a real song. I mean, it's fun, though. Oh, yeah. I said love's gonna
get you. Yeah, Jesse.
Yeah, Jesse.
Yeah.
He was on Glee as well at one point.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. Oh, all right.
Have you had enough?
I've had enough now.
I had enough 10 minutes ago.
Love's gonna get me down. All right. Wow. But it does. You know, love tends to get you down.
It can.
So
you
avoid
have ups
it.
And downs. It's like a roller coaster.
Avoid it at all costs.
No. You got to take risks.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's talk about a few other movies that opened this weekend.
Love like for a duck? That kind of love?
No, that always. That's always a very happy thing. You know? Because it's unconditional.
There's no grief with the duck.
Right, there is. That's, you know,
there will be in a couple of years.
Because, you know,
like except when you're changing lifespan. Those diapers.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, just like we were saying earlier, you know, girls rule the world. I mean.
I didn't say that.
Well, I said it. I mean, who runs the world? Girls. And then they get you down, you know?
Okay.
Just
no.
Keep loving your pets. let's
is
talk.
Is there a story you want to tell?
No,
us?
There isn't. I was
off
just.
You want to confess
we'll
to something?
No, no. Yeah. Let's talk a little bit about someone that I know that Greg and I both love.
Yes,
Elizabeth Banks.
Very much. She's amazing.
Why don't I like her?
I don't know because you have bad taste. You don't like,
I like
Anna
Banks.
Kendrick. You like her?
Okay. Yes, I do.
Okay, all right.
She's great in movie 42.
Yeah, she is great in that, isn't she?
43.
Is that her age?
No, it's 43.
Yeah, you got to get the name of the movie.
Was it
right.
movie 43?
Yeah. One of the great movies.
Oh, well,
of our
I was
time.
One off.
You
42 was
right.
About the baseball player.
Good movie, too.
It was a good one. It came out around the same time, by the way.
His name's Jackie Robinson.
And the sequel was movie 44.
Yes. Yeah. Well, Every Secret Thing was not directed by Elizabeth Banks. Elizabeth Banks directed Pitch Perfect 2. She also is one of the characters in the film. She has some hilarious lines, by the way. You remember her from the first one, right?
I do, and also her lookalike in the porno version of movie 43, movie 69.
Wow. Excellent.
Correct.
Right. Well, Elizabeth Banks stars in Every Secret Thing, in which she plays a police detective who, 8 years after her failure to save the life of a missing child from the hands of two young girls, played by Dakota Fanning and Danielle McDonald, must race the clock to prevent history from repeating itself when another child goes missing in the same town just days after the girls are released from juvenile detention. Diane Lane also stars in the flick. I mean, this has got a great cast. Elizabeth Banks, Diane Lane.
I like her even more than I like Elizabeth Banks.
You know, and I usually don't. I'm not usually attracted to older women, but Diane Lane.
She's pretty hot for an older woman.
Yeah, she. No, no.
I mean, she's my age.
We can't say that though. I've learned, like at bar crawls, you can't say hot for an older woman. You just have to. Hey, she's hot.
Well, Diane is not with us today and is probably not listening. So,
but we have
okay.
other listeners who are of her age and might be offended.
I'm of her age.
Well, okay, but you're all right. That's fine.
I don't say hot or anything. You just go in there and you're good. But, yeah, Diane Lane is great.
No. She's a really talented actress
she is,
as well.
Absolutely.
She hasn't done a whole lot lately.
She hasn't.
Doesn't seem like it.
No, no. But this was directed by Amy Berg, who's a documentarian. It boasts a visual style that resembles reality, and it feels really uncomfortable watching this movie because it feels like you're watching something that's real. It's not shot found footage style, but it's just so raw, the footage.
Yeah, this kind of reminds me, not the Chris Hansen Dateline NBC stuff, but kind of like that stuff you see, those documentaries where kids go crazy. I mean, from the sound of it, yeah, it sounds like Dakota Fanning and the other youngster.
They're both very, very creepy in this movie. Yeah. Dakota Fanning is very creepy. Danielle McDonald, who's a newcomer, she is extremely scary in this movie. It's a very effective movie. There, you've got convincing performances, a very talented cast in this film, but unfortunately, it's a slower than molasses pace that prevents any tension from building. So it's a very loose atmosphere. The eventual dependence on procedural elements subvert the film's aforementioned attributes and makes the movie somewhat boring. I was a little bit bored watching the movie. A true crime, considering its potential. Thumbs down for Every Secret Thing.
Yeah. Now, how does Elizabeth Banks do, though, in a dramatic role?
She
like
is
that?
Really good in a dramatic role. I think this is the second time that we've seen her in a dramatic role. I remember reviewing a film. I don't remember what the name of it was. It was another crime film. I believe either earlier this year or late last year. And I believe I gave that one a thumbs up. She does a very good job, both as a comedic actress and a dramatic actress and as a filmmaker, apparently.
Yeah, it's great now. She's getting into that, too.
Yeah. And so another film that we can talk about is Area 51. Now, I know that Eric is not a fan of Paranormal Activity.
I am definitely not a fan of that.
Neither am I.
I don't like the, you know how I am. I don't like the camera all over the place.
Well, I like Blair Witch Project.
I like the first Paranormal Activity. Here's the thing with that one is that even though you knew it really wasn't true and stuff, there's still this atmosphere, you know, in the theater that first night. Everyone was freaking out, you know, guys, women, girls, whatever it was. And there was just this weird sense while watching it. Now, after that, they ruined it. They should have just stuck with that.
There's four of them, right?
Five, I think, and there's another one coming out.
Well, there's four. There's five if you consider the well, it's a cousin to it, the Marked Ones.
Yes, that's what I was talking. I thought that was the fourth.
The Marked Ones, and then they skipped 2 years, and now another one's coming out this year, and I think it's the Ghost Dimension or something like that.
Yeah,
I don't know. But way back when the first Paranormal Activity came out, Oren Peli, who we've had on the show before,
good guy,
said that he was working on Area 51.
Yes.
So
is this going to be filmed like Paranormal Activity?
Yes, it's filmed just like Paranormal Activity. It's a found footage film. Three young conspiracy theorists attempt to uncover the mysteries of Area 51, the government's secret location rumored to have hosted encounters with alien beings. What they find out at this hidden facility exposes unimaginable secrets. So it was made 6 years ago.
Yeah.
The movie is just now coming out.
Sometimes that could be a bad thing.
Sometimes it can be a bad thing.
He had to convince somebody to release it.
Right, right. Well, it's still Paramount that is releasing it, Paramount Insurge. It's in a few theaters, but it's also on video on demand. It's obvious to see why this found footage horror flick, Area 51, sat on the shelf for 6 years before finally being released. It is bad. And I'm not even, I mean, I'm just going to say it is really bad. It was really hard for me to get through this movie.
Well, the premise is just like so dated.
It is. And I mean, you've got an hour, literally an hour and 15 minutes of these three people who are just running around. And then eventually a girl, you know, comes into the picture as well.
Finally.
They're just running around doing absolutely nothing. I mean, none of it.
That's how all those movies are.
It is. But some of them know how to. Like, I mean, there's like no horror in this movie until the last 10 minutes. And then the last 10 minutes is so chaotic. And unfortunately, we can't identify with a government. I mean, have you ever been in a government facility, a heavily protected government facility?
It's very scary.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I've never been in one, so I can't identify with that. I mean, Paranormal Activity works on to some extent because you know, I mean, sometimes you hear those creaky things in your house.
Yeah, I thought Paranormal Activity was great. Yeah, the first one.
Yeah. But even the other ones, in bits, it can work in just the scare factor. But here, it doesn't work because, I mean, you're seeing, like, weird things against the wall and stuff like that. They're all, like, metal walls.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a big thumbs down. Do not waste your time, money, or anything on Area 51. So, Echoes of War, James Badgedale plays a Civil War veteran who returns home on the quiet countryside only to find himself embroiled in a conflict between his family and the brutish cattle rancher, played by William Forsythe, harassing them. Ethan Embry and Micah Monroe also star. This one I'll just go run through real quick as well. I did not care for this one as well. I was really looking forward to it because it's got a pretty good cast.
Sure,
I'm a huge fan of Ethan Embry. James Badgedale's a talented guy. William Forsythe is excellent.
He's
everything
always creepy.
He does.
Mm-hmm.
Wasn't he in The Devil's Rejects?
Yeah, he was. Yeah. The Halloween original, or not the original, but the Rob Zombie.
Rob Zombie thing, yeah. So this is a historical drama that features vivid cinematography, a promising cast, but it's in desperate need of a little life. It moves along at a snail's pace. It puts the viewer to sleep in the process, or lack thereof. And it doesn't even reflect civil life era.
Okay.
Civil War era life. Thumbs down for Echoes of War. Didn't care for that.
Doesn't even look like Ethan Embry in the poster.
No, he looks really weird in the movie.
Wow.
I Am Big Bird.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm just coming out there. But I Am Big Bird, the Carol Spinney
story. I won the poll again. Yes.
The Carol Spinney story. You were a fan of Sesame Street when you were a youngster, right?
You know what? I didn't really watch it.
Seriously?
Not that I wasn't a fan. I just didn't really watch it.
Wow, I'm surprised. Okay, well,
I watched The Price is Right when I would stay home from school.
And Bob Barker was your father, you thought, for several years.
Well, he is.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Dave was just out there because he looked like Ron Jeremy, so I thought it'd be cool to latch on to him. But
okay.
Yeah, Bob Barker, though.
Yeah, I thought mine was Drew Carey. Filmmakers Dave LaMattina and Chad N. Walker document the life of the man who has been Sesame Street's Big Bird and Oscar the Grouch since 1969.
Wow.
This guy is 78 years old, and he is still Big Bird.
Very good.
After all these years, he has no intention of stopping either. I think we talked to the guy who plays Elmo.
We did.
And we had him on the show.
Wasn't he accused of some horrendous crime?
He was, but there's other things surrounding that we don't need to bring up. But I Am Big Bird has a heart that is every bit as big as the one that you would imagine beats behind the iconic character's yellow feathered chest. This has just got such a sheer fascination factor. I mean, seeing this guy is actually inside of Big Bird. He is that Big Bird,
and he has to keep his arm up.
Yes, he has to exactly. He has to keep his arm up, and he's there's no eye holes.
Do you
or
think
anything
he switches
like
hands every now and then?
I don't know. I think he uses the same hand, and they're saying that right now, like he's so old now that it's a little bit difficult for him to do that.
Where do you think his other hand is?
His other hand is controlling one of the wings.
Oh, okay.
And then it also flaps the other wing. I mean, they show you the inside of this guy, and.
Wow.
And he's looking at a little TV in front of him, a little teleprompter type thing. That's the only window to the world that he has. It is amazing to see that. So such a fascinating.
How did they do that like back in the 60s when the show started?
I have no
idea.
I'm
sure they didn't have any way to put a little TV in there.
I have no idea.
A little black and white
TV. He probably
TV.
Had to stay in one place.
Probably. I mean, it's amazing. They show you some things from the older days and stuff like that. It is really a fascinating film to watch. And it just peels back the curtain of a universally beloved piece of our childhood. I mean, I recall having a stuffed Big Bird, and I mean a little like a plastic Big Bird that I rode like a one of those horse things.
Yes.
So here's a map I have of how he operates Big Bird. It says his right hand goes up into the head, and the head weighs 2 kilograms.
Mm-hmm.
And what is that? So like 5 pounds. That's close to 5 pounds. Then it says the face. He uses his fingers on his right hand to operate the eyelids and the thumb to open and close his beak.
Mm-hmm.
And then it says his left wing is his left arm, and he moves the wing with his arm. And then he sees through a tiny television strapped to his chest so he can see what the audience sees. And then Big Bird is 8'2" tall.
Yeah.
And he's only 6 foot tall.
Yeah, it's an amazing process to see this. I mean, and then, you know, Carol Spinney's story reveals the man's remarkable creativity and indelible commitment to the character, acting as inspiration for the viewer to live their own life with the same level of passion and perhaps more importantly, unconditional love. That's the one big takeaway from I Am Big Bird. Just unconditional love.
I wonder if that's the original Big Bird costume or if they have more.
No, there's more. There's different, yeah.
Several different ones.
Yeah, there's, you get to see how Big Bird has kind of changed his
over the years.
Yeah, appearance. And he does have like a little a protege, a younger guy,
yeah,
and who does some of the tasks that he's not comfortable doing.
Right.
Which, you know, and then he says that, you know, one day he might take over for him, but, you know, Carol Spinney has no intention of stopping.
Yeah. Oh, so, yeah, look at this old Big Bird. It's nothing like the one now.
Yeah. And Big Bird used to be a different character kind of as well. He's kind of changed over the
years.
He
looked really mangy back in the old days.
Yeah. And, well, now, so a big thumbs up to I Am Big Bird, the Carol Spinney story. Finally, we have Where Hope Grows. Christopher Polaha plays a self-destructive former pro baseball player who is given a serious lesson in living life with courage when he befriends a grocery store clerk with Down syndrome, played by David DeSantis. This was at the Phoenix Film Festival. Dave and I attended the red carpet event a couple months ago as well. It truly lives up to its title, instilling hope in those that may feel lost or forlorn while warming an awful lot of hearts along the way. It does a lot to disprove the beliefs that many people possess about Down syndrome and other so-called disabilities. I think that, you know, there's no such thing as a disability. The only fraction of the film's proficiency. This is only a fraction of the film's proficiency, though. It's got a touching story, communicates how human connection, in particular genuine friendship, is the key to not only healing, but living a fulfilling and fortuitous life. David DeSantis does a great job in the film, as does Christopher Polaha, who we've talked about before from Backstrom. I know.
Yes. I haven't seen Backstrom, but I know what you mean, though.
Yeah.
And Danica McKellar, of course, Wendy from The Wonder Years.
Yes.
She's a hottie.
And looking back to the 80s, the real Karate Kid. It wasn't Ralph Macchio, it was Daniel San LaRusso.
I know.
It was Johnny William Zabka, the great William Zabka.
Zabka.
Yeah.
Zabka.
Best friend of Barney Stinson.
Yeah. And he's your brother, apparently, his father was Bob Barker as well.
Yeah, absolutely. So we all kind of brothers through this. It's great. So,
oh, William we're all Zabka brothers.
Is amazing, though.
Greg's message of the day. We're all brothers.
Okay. Why can't we all just get along?
Yeah. Yeah, me, Neil Patrick Harris, and William Zabka, and, of course, Wayne Brady.
Yes.
Yeah.
So thumbs up to Where Hope Grows. And big surprise, after the break, we're going to actually speak. We've got a pre-recorded interview with the director and writer and star, Christopher Polaha.
You have number 7 showing, but I'm just going to assume I'm on number 8.
Yes, number 8, please. We'll move on to that one. This is the Kennedy Center medley from Pitch Perfect 2.
Okay.
Now, I know when I go out to the clubs.
Yeah.
Right?
You're a little clubber.
The clubs. Yeah.
Yeah.
At the bar crawls, I like to get my timber on.
Okay.
You know what I'm talking about?
I don't. I have no idea.
You don't like
don't
to get your timber
to the clubs.
On?
No.
This is what I'm talking about.
Oh, the song. Yeah. You
better dance. Oh, yeah.
Who really sings this?
I don't know. Weird Al has a version that's really fun, too.
We'll look it up here in a little bit. This is Breakthrough Entertainment, Pitch Perfect 2 Show, 1480 AM, KPHX. We'll be right back.
She won't, but I bet she will.